May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
So, anyone notice something different today? Okay, perhaps not a fair question if you hadn't had enough caffeine yet. But here are some hints. It has nothing to do with a groundhog named Phil. And if you're a purist and haven't taken down your Christmas decorations, today is the day. Or look at the cover of your bulletins. Does it say the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany? No. Is the church in green, or was the gospel from Matthew as we would normally hear in year A? No. I'm wearing white. Come on, guys. We're over in the air. This is the presentation of our Lord, a principal feast of the church, or as the Roman Catholics would call it, a holy day of obligation. It actually falls on February 2nd, so it takes precedence over any other thing on this Sunday. It's when Jesus, according to Jewish law, was brought by his parents to the temple to be offered to God, and where we get the beloved Nunc Dimittis. The Nunc Dimittis, or Song of Simeon, are the words we hear in the text. Now, you might have noticed I kind of slowed down and really paid attention when reading those, not because I couldn't see them, but because I'm used to hearing them in evensong and praying them in the daily office in a little different way. And even, by the way, this is inscribed in our windows right up there. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the worlds to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. This was Simeon's response to the gift of seeing Jesus. He had been promised that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah, and his joyous song has been heard through the ages. Simeon recognized not only the gift of Jesus in his life, but he knew this would happen because he was able to recognize the gift of foresight and prophecy given to him by God to know that Jesus was coming and what his life and death would do to his mother Mary. For we also hear him say to her, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon was a gifted man whose prophetic wisdom has blessed us through the ages. And we also hear today about another gifted prophet, Anna. And we so rarely hear about women or women prophets, so I want you to be sure that you lift up that part of the text and think about what that must have been like for her then and now. Yet the question I want us to consider on this presentation Sunday is, what are your gifts? What are some of the gifts that you offer to God? And what is your gift given to you by God? This past weekend was our diocesan convention, and we spent a lot of time discerning these very questions. The theme of convention this year was, "Behold God's gifts, become God's steward." Before attending, deputies were asked to take a spiritual gifts assessment. Now, I asked you last week to all take it too, and the link was posted on Facebook. And the assessment's really short, doesn't take long. And it asks you several questions and then gives out a reading of what your spiritual gifts are by strength. And they may offer some surprises. Now, you might think that these would be all things like evangelism and exhortation or prophetic preaching, pastoral care, mercy, and the like, and those are included. But there are other things like administration, artistry, music, crafts, teaching, writing, and wisdom. Sadly, none of the listed gifts were about the ability to find a magic ring or slay a dragon or fill a net full of fish, as I talked about last week. Not specifically, anyway. Now, why would we do this? Why would we do this? Because we can often think we don't have anything to offer. And that's not only a sad thing, but it's creating a crisis in this church. In this church. As I said a few weeks ago, our bishop, the Right Reverend Carly J. Hughes, said something at diocesan council meeting that struck me deeply. She said, stewardship issues are spiritual issues. Because it means that the person is unable to see what God is doing in the world and what God is doing with them. Stewardship issues are spiritual issues. And she's right about that. And it's something that we must address if we are ever to be a full part of the Jesus movement, because that is why the incarnation happened, to show us who we are, how deeply we are loved, and what we are called to do. And I'm going to talk a lot about it in the coming year, because I think one of the saddest things to think about is that a child of God is not able to see God at work in the world and in them. But getting back to convention, we step boldly forward to consider our own spiritual gifts, because participating in this type of discernment is part of the journey, our journey in Christ, part of the way we grow to be the stewards we are called to be. Now, there are also a great many other things we did at convention, workshops, discussions, business, of course, elections, and social engagement, all of which are important. So on this day, when we hear of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, let us present the gift of Jesus we experienced at convention. And to do that, we will hear from our deputies, Christopher Dwyer, Desiree Noel, along with our warden, Denise Massey-Williams, and vestry member, Michelle Rendeck, who attended on Saturday because they wanted to. And sadly, Ben Reynolds, another of our deputies who attended, is at home caring for his wife, Stephanie, who is sick. So if you all would come up here, please, and talk a bit about convention.
Use this. Be careful because that sticks out a little bit.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's my first time in the pulpit, and it's very intimidating. I also am terrified of public speaking, but I'll do my best. This was my first time at convention, and I did not know what to expect. However, I found that it was uplifting, enlightening, and enriching to the soul. There was love, unity, joy, peace, and celebration of accomplishments in the name of the Lord. There was even fun. Yes, fun. The bishop gave a sermon on Behold Moments, when we are to listen to God's voice that guides us, telling us, listen, something important is going to happen. These moments are to show us God's love. Behold Moments happen over a lifetime, and it changes us. This gave me a new perspective to dwell on. The bishop also spoke on stewardship, which was enlightening to me, as I always thought of stewardship as pledging. She said that stewardship is not pledging. It is when God gives us something and says, take care of this for me, to be used for others. Ask yourself, how do we take care of it for God to use for his children? When we accomplish this goal, we are gifted by God with more, to do more for his children. When God's people are gathered together, we can be a powerful force. We can accomplish more together than we ever can alone. I would encourage everyone to attend convention to see and feel God's work in action and experience all that I experienced and more. Thanks.
Good morning. This is also my first time at the diocese convention. I didn't go with any title except as parishioner, which I think we all can take advantage of this wonderful opportunity, just as being brothers and sisters in Christ. While there, some of the things we did was attend a stewardship workshop where we learned creative ways to engage all of our brothers and sisters in serving Christ in the church with our offerings of pledge and talent and gifts. We had some fun activities such as we played a game in which we learned to creatively use our gifts according to the assessment. Some of the gifts we maybe knew about, some of the gifts that we did not know we knew about. I was also a witness to the voting process, which was very exciting and at times at edge of the seat. so that was an interesting part of the process. One of the things that came up as a theme at the convention was beholden moments. Maybe Mother Diana will talk a little bit about that. For me, the beholden moment came at the very end when we received the anointing of hands. And this was a very beautiful symbol of blessing us as we go out to use our gifts, to use our hands for our Lord and for each other. I would encourage you all to take this opportunity next time. You don't have to have any special title except as parishioner, which is a special title. I am grateful for having gone. Thanks.
One of my spiritual gifts is exhortation, so I'll set a timer. This was my fifth time at convention. I was, as Michelle said, the first two times I went, my title was parishioner. And honestly, the first time my title was barely that. I had been coming to Christ Church for about 3 months. And Mother Diana said, you know, we've got an extra seat at convention. Somebody's not feeling well. Why don't you come along? And so I did, and it was transformative. And at the time, I did not know what transformative meant. I had heard the word. I figured it had something to do with a moving experience, and it certainly was. This time was different. I mean, it was different personally. I was very busy throughout convention. I'm on committees, I'm doing things, and I will tell you that is really cool. And I mention that not just because it's really cool, but because one of the things I heard over and over and over from the committees that were presenting was, we need people. Why don't you come and join us on this committee? And I'm sitting, I'm thinking. If you go to convention, when you go to convention, you will see a rector who is up and down all 2 days of it, running from point A to point B, doing things, up on the dais, presenting motions and speaking and doing stuff. And we can do that too. We can bring more people from Christ Church out to the diocese. We have something really special here. And I think that's what Bishop Hughes was talking about when she was talking about stewardship, that as a parish, we can be stewards of the diocese. As individuals, we can be stewards of our parish. And for me, that was my behold moment. It was, these things that you think you can't do, you can, and more than that, you ought to, Christopher Daniel Dwyer. She mentioned all three names.
Good morning, Christchurch family. I was so very happy to attend for the second time convention, and every time I go, I'm more appreciative of the experience. All of those who went ahead of me told you much of what I probably wanted to say, but I wanted to let you know about one of the behold moments that I experienced. It was when a parish, the St. Gregory's Parish, was welcomed back to the fold after almost closing because of many things that had happened. A very small parish, but the entire group of us stood up and we welcomed them back into the fold as a parish. They were led by a bagpipe and a very small congregation, and they were welcomed with resounding applause. It shows you what God could do. Something that was almost dead became alive again because of the people who worked to make that happen. We are a small parish, and we are experiencing our problems too. But that gave me a behold moment that we too can rise up and be bigger than we can with God's help. As the other said, it was not all serious business. We played a card game, that helped us to learn how we can use some of the gifts that we each have in solving problems within our diocese. I think Christopher was part of the team that helped to build that game and make it what it is. And I believe somewhere along the line we are going to play the game here. Either, no. Yes. I discovered that one of my gifts was service, among others. Vocal music and faith. And I think that maybe at one point we can probably also have everyone here take a survey, and you would be surprised at some of the gifts that you do have and you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. I attended a stewardship workshop given by a couple of other parishes, and there I got some ideas that we probably can put into place here for our next stewardship. And we were told stewardship is not just that season between October and November. Mm-hmm. Stewardship is throughout the church year. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that I'd gone, and like the others, I encourage you to come, even if you just come to experience the Eucharist, you're going to feel what it feels like to be part of a larger body in Christ. Thank you.
So you can see through these witnesses to the movement of the Spirit at Convention, we've been gifted today as well. Because their offering of their experience is indeed a gift, one that I hope will help us all to see that God is saying, behold. Now, I want to explain that a little bit, just briefly, that what our bishop was saying is that in the book, in the good book there, in the Bible, behold is said, there's only two other words said more often than behold, and that's God and Lord. And behold means, listen to me, right? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, right? And you heard someone use all three of their names, right? And so it was, remember when you were a little kid and your parents wanted you to know something? What did they do? They used all, right, listen, your full name, Diana Laurie Wilcox, right? So we're going to do what we did at convention. Say, listen, and your full names, all right? Listen. That's what God's doing when God says, behold. And God is saying, I gave you important gifts. So and so and so and so, name, name, name. Do not waste them. Do not waste them. Because now more than ever, we need to use these gifts to make a difference in our lives and in the world. The troubles we see all around us can sometimes feel overwhelming. The news this week leaves many feeling like the world is spinning out of control. But we have been here before. We have. In fact, we nearly didn't survive to be the Democratic Republic we are now. We fought to make that happen in the Revolution. And our country nearly died before it ever got going along because of the sin of slavery in the Civil War. And then there's the dark era of Senator McCarthy and his use of fear to strangle the freedom of Americans, taking people down like a machine gun. Yes, we have seen worse times than these. And then, as now, God says, listen to me. You are my child, and you can, and you will make a difference, but I need you to trust in what I have given to you. So today, we're going to close our hymn, our service, with a hymn written during one of those dark times, amidst the Civil War, by abolitionist Julia Ward Howe. We know it as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Howe used the gift God gave her to offer up a vision of Jesus amidst the horrors of our world. She could see, even in that turbulent time when some were in shackles and brother fought and killed brother, the vision of God's grace in, as she wrote, the watchfires of 100 circling camps. Howe could see within this destruction something else besides the campfires of Union armies. And in perhaps one of the most prophetic verses, the one our presiding bishop, now, you ever heard our presiding bishop, the Most Reverend Michael Bruce Curry, preach? How many have heard him preach? Probably royal wedding, right? But outside of the royal wedding, they even have a bingo card for Michael Curry preaching. So you get these different parts of the things. Because one thing, he says, we all do, right? You all know that I say a lot, church is not the destination. It's a preaching thing. Well, he has some classics. Well, one of which is, if it's not about love, it's not about God, right? You've heard him say that. If it's not about love, it's not about God. Well, he also quotes from this hymn, and it's in the bingo card. He will often say, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make all free while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah, God's truth is marching on. And that's why it is so important to know on this presentation Sunday that God became incarnate, that we may know the truth, God's truth that marches on in us, that all people are beloved children, loved beyond measure. In Jesus, we were transfigured to understand who we are and the gifts God has given us, that we might be Christ's agents in the world, living to make all free. Behold, God is marching on, and we alongside, the good stewards of God's grace, presenting Jesus as we share our gifts and transform the world. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God's truth is marching on in us. Amen.